I'm Pablo Martel, and this is Roads and Riches. Episode 5 of Roads and Riches. Today we have on two incredible entrepreneurs, Ali and Michelle, the co-founders of Mies Studio. Mies is a creative design agency that's really focused on brand building. And they actually play a huge role for us at Alpine Mar, and I think really have been a huge part of our success. They even play a huge role in the production of this podcast. So I'm excited to chat with them today, talk a little bit about their journey into entrepreneurship and starting Mies, as well as talk a little bit about the advertising, marketing, branding world in general. If you're enjoying the podcast, please consider heading on over to our YouTube channel, hit subscribe, hit the notifications button. And if you're interested in supporting the pod, you can head on over to roadsandriches.com and hit that support button. Hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome to the pod, Ali and Michelle, co-founders of Mies. Tell us what you do.
Thank you for having us. We're so excited. So at Mies, we are technically a design and advertising studio, and we like to say we like to deliver creative solutions for new and growing brands. So what does that mean? We kind of have a really wide range of skills, from like research, brand strategy, naming, brand identity, packaging, websites, advertising, and like kind of just like everything in between. We tend to like to partner with either like startups or established brand. We kind of partner with everyone. Established brands that are, you know, trying to just craft like memorable communications and brand identities and experiences. So we do a lot, which can be confusing sometimes, I think.
Yeah, I think a good way of just kind of that was a long list of capabilities, which we do have, but I do think it's important when we talk with clients that we're onboarding. One of the big things that we say is when it comes to branding, oftentimes people just think of like, you know, you do a logo and you do your fonts and colors and you send that out and then you're done. But the reality is every business and every brand is a living, breathing thing. And so the thing that Ali and I really love to do is get into, once we've built and established that, you know, those kind of core brand identity pieces, the real fun begins when you get to kind of work on every touch point after that, which is why the capability list is so huge, is because it extends to all, you know, aspects of a business's brand. And that's what we help with.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. And it's interesting because there's so much that I've learned from you guys, I think, especially when we just initially started building Alpine Mar. And obviously you guys are such a huge, you know, component to, you know, what our firm is today and will continue to be. And you've probably taken on things that you would have not otherwise taken on had we asked you to do it.
Like this podcast.
Yeah. Exactly. So we'll get into some of that in a minute. Cause I think so much to unpack there, and especially things that I learned too. But, Mies is relatively new. You know, you guys were, Ali, you were at a big branding, you know, studio or agency, and Michelle, I know you were doing your own thing as well. So why don't we talk real quick about each of your backgrounds? Ali, maybe you go first. And then I want to talk about just how you guys decided, okay, I'm ripping the Band-Aid off and I'm going to do this thing on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was at a big ad agency right before starting Mies. And that's kind of my background, you know, kind of that big ad agency world working on, I come from an art direction background, which is kind of confusing to explain to people that are not in the industry, because it's essentially like a graphic designer, but you're in charge of the visuals for whatever the communication is, or the art behind it. Which also becomes kind of a little bit conceptual. So you're not just, you know, executing design, you're also finding partners and figuring out what the right look and feel is for a brand or for what that communication piece should be. My background's in kind of agency, ad agency world, working on campaigns, everything from like TV spots to print ads to branding, of course. Digital banner ads, social media, like anything like that. And then Michelle has a little bit of that, but I think you also have.
Well,
you
I would say similar, but I come from more of a like pure branding background, I would say, which I know that might sound like for most people, you'd be like, what's the difference? But there are distinctions. So yeah, I would say my background is a little bit more in kind of like boutique brand studios. I've also worked at a couple different tech startups, being like the design director in terms of handling all things having to do with the brand. So I've had a pretty cool experience of having both like in-house experience as well as like the agency side experience. And that's been pretty cool to kind of do both. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. And obviously you guys have, I think, probably different skill sets too that complement each other, right? And so I guess before we maybe even go into that a little bit, what made you rip the Band-Aid off? And you're like, all right, I'm doing this thing on my own. We're going to start Mies. And tell us what that thought process was like and how you ultimately got comfortable to do it.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because you're right in saying that we started in 2023, which was last year, January 2023. But Mies has actually been around since 2020, right before COVID. No, sorry. Even before that. Yeah.
And it was just what a side hustle?
So yeah, Michelle and I, you know, we met in college and we've always worked really well together. And at one point we even overlapped and worked at the same agency for a few years. And other than being friends, of course, like we've just had very similar interests, and we've gotten approached a lot about in our past about doing like side projects and, you know, smaller things. So we wanted kind of an LLC and like an official way of taking on those side projects. From a tax purpose standpoint, it was important because our accountants told us to. So it's been around for quite a while. And I think we always kind of talked about it, you know, like it was always kind of a dream of ours to do this. And I think the timing was just right when it happened. You know, like I had my daughter, she's two and a half. So I had her, and you know, the first year of having a kid is really difficult. So I was very comfortable at the agency I was at. You know, I was like not looking to really make any big moves. But once I got, you know, a little more comfortable in motherhood and parenthood, I started to get that itch, and I was like, okay, what's next for me? Like, what is my next step going to be after this place? And I think Michelle was kind of a little bit in the same place, not having a child, but from a career standpoint.
Yeah, basically, like Ali had mentioned, we both worked at an agency that we overlapped at. I had been there for around 4 years, then COVID hit and we were all kind of working remotely from home. And I think that was kind of a big game changer for me personally. I'd say I also moved to a new city during that time, lots of changes at the time. And Ali and I had always talked about eventually getting to a place where it would be really cool to have our own studio. Like she mentioned, we work really well together. We've consistently always had people approach us, which has been really cool. And that's kind of like the way that we've grown a lot of our business, which we're very grateful and thankful for. But yeah, I think it just got to a point where we were like, okay, it's time. Like, we're ready to do this. We're ready to rip off the Band-Aid, like you said. And I think it's been a really cool experience so far in terms of like giving it a full shot. I actually quit my job, I'd say it's not a full year prior, but probably like 6 months prior to Ali quitting her full-time job. So I was the one who kind of like dove in first and got it kind of going a bit. And then Ali then followed suit after the fact. And I would say, not to get like too in the weeds of it, but there were a couple things that happened that we're really grateful for that allowed us to do that. There was like one big client that came through that kind of gave us that reassurance where we did have enough steady work that it felt comfortable that we could make that jump without being, you know, totally like, you know, just doing it with.
Yeah. How am I going to pay my rent? And
exactly.
So having taken the plunge and everything, you guys are in it full time and everything. I mean, where are you guys at now? I mean, would you ever think that you guys would be where you're at now? And what's that pipeline look like? I mean, what has building this business been like for you guys?
It's been awesome. It's been a huge challenge, I think, at least for me, but it's been a really fulfilling challenge. And I've had to dive into a lot of stuff that I had no business diving into, or just like didn't even want to before this, you know, like taxes and accounting and payroll and thinking about, you know, everything, expenses. And, you know, it's so much more than what we're used to doing in our day jobs and our backgrounds and just like designing. Like, it's just so much more than that. But at least for me, it's been super fulfilling. You know, like, there's something so awesome about being able to wake up and like know that like all your effort goes to building your own thing.
Totally.
And doing it the way that we want to do it. You know, I think one of the things I'm really proud of is, I feel like Michelle and I are on the same page, honestly, about like what we're trying to build, which is good. And we've had to make some really tough decisions, but I've been really proud of those decisions and like the way we've done everything that we've had to do. You know, from saying no to clients just because we didn't believe in the work or didn't want to, you know, work on that or just weren't interested, or saying no to different people. So it's been a really awesome, I actually quit my full-time job and went into this full-time September 2023. So I've been in it not that long, right? Like what, 6 months? But yeah, it's been awesome. I'm so proud of us and like what we've been able to accomplish in like such a short amount of time.
Yeah. I mean, you hit, I think too, just on like just entrepreneurship in general, you got a lot of things that you got to figure out for the first time. Yep. And there certainly is something like super fulfilling about that. I think a lot of people think that, that entrepreneurship will bring them a certain amount of flexibility, let's say, that they want in their life, right? When the reality is that it doesn't sleep. It is always going up here. And in a big way, it's a lot more work than you would otherwise be doing, but you get to do it your way. And that's the biggest thing, is that it's on your terms, which I think is huge. All right, I want to dig into who you guys are to Alpine Mar. So I think this is good because we can start digging into some of the nuances and complexities, I think, that you guys have in your industry and kind of what you guys are facing. So I'm going to share, I think, something real quick just on the Alpine Mar side. So, which I think certain folks that know us, they kind of know our story and everything, you know, a little bit, that know us personally. There's a lot of people that certainly don't. But, you know, similar to you guys, you know, we started this Alpine Mar, and the firm is really a side hustle. And it's been incredible. Thankfully, we've had a lot of, good demand characteristics in our industry with, you know, a lot of folks a lot of folks retiring and, you know, not as many people studying to become accountants. But I think aside from that, so when we were building the firm and we're starting to think of a lot of the things like you're talking about, like you guys are like, oh, I'd never want to deal with like, oh, the payroll and, you know, the finances and have to deal with like making certain decisions. You just wanted to focus on what you guys did, right? And similar for us, right? Like, we have our accounting backgrounds and everything. And so like the branding, the design, how we market ourselves, all that. As you guys know, it's super important to me. I mean, you guys know how like, you know, detail oriented I am on certain things, and like, you know, have, I would say, a certain vision that, you know, kind of want carried out and everything. And so you guys see all that. When we initially started, we sat down and we had a conversation with you, Ali, and, you know, we sat down at that dining room table, right, at Christine Kevin's, and we're like, all right, we need to define who we are. And that was kind of where it started. And you had us basically do this exercise, which it still sticks with me today. And it's so valuable. When you initially said it or talked about it, right, it's one of those things where you're just like, yeah, okay, you know, we can do this. Like, maybe you don't take it that seriously. But it is so important to have what you guys call that North Star. Who are you? How would you define yourself? And it gets you to that point where it really is your elevator pitch. It's how would you give that elevator pitch to anybody and who you are, right? And one of the things, Michelle, that you said earlier was like, a brand is a living, breathing thing. So it like touches all these different things, right? So I think, you helped guide us so much into how we thought about that, but then also talked to us a lot about, so much that we didn't think about it. Like how you present things on a page, how you present things on a website, right? One of the things that I learned was, I think in your industry and just in your space in general, you cover a big ground of different things, right? A bunch of topics. And as we've evolved just as a culture, just society and everything, technology advances, you've had social media, you've had the implementation of having different digital platforms where you have to be able to get kind of, continue that living, breathing organism that you're talking about, that brand, in these different mediums, which I think makes it, very challenging, I think, from, the seat that you guys are in. But something that I learned was there are people that are very good at certain things in your industry and it, right? And one of the things that like I kind of put in there, and I just think about like marketing in general, right? We'll just call it branding, advertising, marketing, right? And one of the first things that we did was we were talking about, all right, we want to start implementing some SEO to our website, right? And we want to start, putting a new website out there, a new look, a new feel, all this stuff, right? And you really introduced us to like, there is a lot of things that you really need to think about here. And the UI was one of the most important things to me, right? And when we started having those conversations with a few of these SEO, groups, right, we realized, okay, they're great at what they do. They are terrible at, the design work and the UI and everything. And that was the most important thing to me at the time. Right. And I think that they all of these things have a place, right, in an organization and in your overall strategy. But how have you guys, and how do you guys look at all these, different developments, I would say, in your industry, and being able to interact across all these different mediums? And what are your conversations like with your clients, that don't understand this stuff? I mean, it's not easy. It's a lot to navigate.
Yeah, it's not easy, and it's a lot to navigate. And there's a lot that we're not good at. Not that we're not good at it, it's just not our expertise, and like SEO is one of those things. And I think, the challenge that you guys came upon with like looking at these firms for the size, for your size, right, and for you, what you were trying to do, it's hard because there are huge agencies, right, like the ones that we used to work for that are great at all these things, but they have very specialized departments and hundreds of people that are focusing on each of these kind of specialties and capabilities. And it's one of those things that we're just not there, and I don't think that's ever what we want to build, right? The way that we have felt is work the best, I think, of a way to like kind of explain this to our clients is that we see ourselves as like creative directors, in the sense that we have a lot of experience working with these people who are good at those things. Like I've told you 100 times, we've partnered with SEO agencies 1,000,000 times, or we've partnered with digital marketing firms 1,000,000 times, or people who, media planners that place advertising, or, developers who actually build the sites. We have that experience in having those conversations, and we can speak their language. We just can't do what they do. But the way we pitch ourselves and the way that's worked is we come in as, creative directors, almost like we are there to make sure that the work that's being done is the work that is speaking for the brand in the way that we want the brand to speak. So go ahead, Michelle.
To add on that, because I think that's absolutely correct. Like from the experience that we've had working at larger agencies, we've been able to work with people who are experts in those areas. So Ali and I have enough like knowledge of when it's going well versus when it's not, paired with the fact that, just to go back to what you said, Pablo, like that North Star concept is so important to us, because the reality is, just to take like a step back even further, of course, there's all these, you know, technological advancements and all these new platforms and all these new ways that we can reach new audiences. And but the reality is you have to define that North Star first, because these technologies might not make sense for every single brand. Like, you don't want to just like jump into one thing because everyone's doing it. It's like, does this make sense for what it is that you're trying to build? So Ali and I take that kind of you know, brand strategy exercise really seriously at the upfront, because it makes all the other decision points after so much easier. And it makes it so much easier to then figure out, okay, who do we partner with? Where, you know, what is the work and the messaging that we need to relay across those platforms? And like Ali said, we can help kind of like direct and be your partner in doing that, because it can be really scary to now be, you know, starting a business and you're learning all these words and all these things and you're like, wait, what does this mean? How do I do this? And so with the experience that we have, we kind of can help guide you through it and help you find like the right partners and help make sure that once again, everything is going back to that North Star. So hopefully we help the process be a little less overwhelming, because it can be very overwhelming for sure.
Yeah. And it's funny too, like with us, right? We've started the, you know, we've had these other initiatives and these things that we're doing, right? And in almost in every single one of them, you're certainly our first, our touch point, right? And yeah, like this podcast is a good example, right? I remember going and I interviewed a few different agencies that's what they did. They did podcasts, right? And it was like three or four of them. And I knew in every single one of those conversations, none of them understood how important it was to me, like the look and the feel and just like how it comes off to anybody that is going to be looking at this, right? So I was like, you know what? What the heck am I doing? I need to just call you guys and be like, listen, this is what we're doing. I know you don't do this. I need you to just like figure it out, please, because you're going to do it 5 times, 10 times better than, you know, these guys that are producing these podcasts. And it, not a knock on them. It was just, you guys needed to be in that process, right? And yeah, it was like, okay, I could have hired one of these agencies, or I could have hired somebody to do this. And ultimately I already knew it was going to be like, hey guys, let me introduce you to Mies and Ali. You guys got to run everything through them first. And, you know, there's going to be tweaks to things, you know, whether you like it or not, like, you know, the production might be good. The quality might be good. You might be able to get it on all the platforms that I need you to get it on. Great. But if it doesn't look really good, if it doesn't have the right messaging, if it doesn't, you know, groove with, you know, the, I would say the pedigree in my opinion of just really what we are and what we're trying to build, it ultimately is a failure. And yeah, that's what I'm trying to avoid. So it's funny that you guys have kind of, you guys, it always came back to you guys, and that was so important. So let's talk about social media for a minute. So, you know, I am certainly, I would say over the course of, well, just if you were to go back, you know, 5 years, I was definitely the guy that was just like, yeah, social media, like hogwash stuff. Like, yeah, what, you know, whatever. Like, I can't believe so many people spend this much, you know, much time on there, like losers, like, you know, whatever. That was me. And my tune has changed completely. And I think a big part of it has to do with really understanding the value that it can bring. But you got to be very intentional about it. And that's kind of the way that I look at it. You guys, I think, have probably had to wrap your heads around just social media and social media platforms, and obviously dealing in the space that you're in. What's that been like? What do you think the future of social media is?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because you kind of said this at the beginning, and I want to go back to it because I think it's important. Our relationship, Mies and Alpine Mar, and just the fact that we kind of came up together, and we definitely feel like we act as your creative direction and have that really tight-knit partnership with you. You've also pushed us to do a lot of things that we're not comfortable doing, which has been really nice because Michelle and I don't like to say yes to projects or things that we're not confident we can deliver on. But with you, it feels very transparent in the sense that I feel like I can tell you, like, Pablo, I don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to try our best, you know, and yeah, you're like, do it, you know, and I'm like, we're forever grateful for that partnership because it's really pushed us to then be able to feel confident and sell that to yeah, you know, to other clients. And social media is one of those things. You know, I think from our backgrounds, obviously, Michelle and I have had a lot of experience creating content for social media and thinking about social media strategies and you know, actually making the things that go on the platforms. But actually managing a social media platform is a whole other kind of monster, you know, like scheduling and community management and posting and making sure you're hitting certain content pillars and the strategy and looking at the data and the analytics and pivoting our strategy. Like that's something that it's kind of one of those things like similar to SEO that we obviously had those conversations. We were in the room and we're able to like hold our own and are knowledgeable about it, but like had never actually done ourselves until you were like, Allie, we need you to do this. And I was like, okay, here we go. And, you know, it really has helped working on the Alpine Mar brand, helped put a process in place for us so that we do feel comfortable and we can go to clients and say, hey, we can like knock this out of the park for you. Yeah. As far as the future of social media, wow, that is a loaded question. I don't know. I think.
What about the evolution of personal brands, right? Like, I think this is something that is like, yeah, is so important right now. And there, I tweeted the other day, I was like, there needs to be a Zillow for like X accounts, because I needed to get a Zestimate on these things, because it's interesting. The amount of engagement and traffic that you can drive through a tweet, right, or an X, whatever you want to call it nowadays, or, you know, even on LinkedIn, and the amount of business that, I mean, look, I don't have, you know, some huge following right now. I started with maybe 10 followers less than a year ago. I've got maybe 300 something. A lot of them are really good quality people, which I'm very happy about, because I've engaged with a lot of them even outside of, let's say, the platform. We've had business come through, even with just my very, you know, limited following, even on that platform, and same deal on LinkedIn, right? Like, it's blown my mind the impact that it has really had on our business and just on us personally. And I think there's me coming from the big corporate world, right? I was at EY, I was at Goldman Sachs. I feel like the personal brand thing is something that is like, it was almost something that is like, it was something they had to figure out. Like these, yeah, big firms, like they're just like, oh, I don't like this, right? Like we want, like we're the brand, like we're the, you know, but like they're now to the point where like, listen, they got to accept this and they got to start embracing it, because the amount of benefit that you get from somebody, one individual that might have a tremendous amount of reach, how they represent not only themselves, but they can represent your brand is huge. And that was something that I know that they had to figure out. And I know that, yeah, I don't think I'm sure their compliance department still hate it. And I'm happy about it, to be honest.
Yeah. I think this is an interesting conversation, because I think it could go a lot of ways. I think when you look at personal branding, right, that started to me like on MySpace, you know, and like picking your, yeah, look and feel and like your background and your
Tom song was the OG.
Yeah. but I think to your point, at that point, it wasn't being like monetized yet. Yeah. And I think recently with the boom of like Instagram influencers, TikTok influencers, like it's definitely gotten there, obviously. And yeah, how a business deals with that and how a brand deals with that is really interesting, to your point. You know, we were just having a conversation with another client about tagging their employees on Instagram posts. And we were like, that's kind of scary. Like, you don't know what that Instagram is going to look like. And it's true.
There's a separation between church and state. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I also think it's interesting to look at like the generational,
shift,
kind of trends, right? Like, yeah, I think this is a very millennial conversation that we're having right now. And I think if you would have a conversation with Gen Z or even Gen Alpha, which is coming up, like I think they're a lot more private. Like, I don't think they're going to adopt this idea of a personal brand as much as millennials have.
It's interesting.
They're actually, if you look at like the data, they're actually very averse to like being online, and they take their privacy very seriously. So I think that we're going to see a huge shift in that as they kind of enter the workforce and we get a little older. I'm not sure where it's going to go, but
yeah, I think there's something interesting that to me, like that feels very Gen Alpha, like the, in terms of the swinging in the complete opposite direction. Gen Z is obviously in the middle because like TikTok and all that good stuff, like people are on there. I think there's something interesting about, aside from the way that Gen Z shows up on social media, the way that Gen Z consumes social media is also really interesting, specifically for businesses. Because if you look back at like, I don't know, even 5 years ago, with like millennials and how businesses would show up on there, it was a lot more like picture perfect. Like it needs to be done very curated. It was all about the feed. Like there was so much about that when you were creating content that now is kind of out the window. Like if you look at businesses now, to your point, there's a lot about kind of like, it feels a lot more like casual and like a lot more less mm-hmm. curated, right? Like that's the type
like
of
unproduced, like unproduced, they want,
right? If something is too produced, exactly. If something is too produced, then they're like slightly less interested, right? But this also goes back to, not to start ranting, like is Gen Z your audience? Because if it's not, mm-hmm. like the way that you reach a millennial mm-hmm. is going to be very different. If your audiences are millennials, or you know, go further up in generations, like where you meet them, how you meet them is going to be totally different. So even though the platforms might be changing, like you still have to go back to your audience. Like, is your audience even on that platform? How right. are they consuming that content? It's there's a lot of nuance to it that I think people frequently, they'll start a business and they're like, oh, let's jump on TikTok. Let's jump on this. And it's like, sure. But are the people that you're trying to speak to on there? Like yeah. that's kind of right. where you got to start. So
that's so interesting that you bring up the upcoming generation and how they're very like privacy driven and like it's interesting because I think there's a lot of negative connotations obviously and a lot of negative impacts of social media, which we all know, we all see, whether it's depression rates and you know mm-hmm. the impacts that they've had on a younger generation. I think some of that I'm sure probably weighs on the fact of like you know the education they're getting around it as and what maybe even you know their parents and you know whoever is talking to them about, and you know hence something that maybe is making them you know want to be a bit more private, mm-hmm. Which I think makes a lot of sense. And then on the opposite side, it really goes to like what's the intention behind it, right? And are you a consumer or are you driving or are you looking to drive engagement? And mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, it's like it's in the business, I guess, realm of things, right? And it's a tool, and mm-hmm. And if it's used right and you're very intentional about it, it could be really great. But that's interesting. Yeah. I hadn't really heard that before about this, but I think it's a good point.
One quick thing, sorry to interrupt you, but I want to say, because it stood out, Pablo, with what you were saying earlier about how you started growing your platform and you went from like, you know, 0 to 300, but the people that you are engaging mm-hmm. with are really quality, like high engage, like there's a high engagement with the people that you have built in this community. And I think you're seeing a lot of move toward that too. Whereas before it was like all about the numbers of how many people are following you, you know, like that was like the biggest metric. And now there's so much more around like, it's better to have actual engagement with the people as opposed to just like a heart and a like a yeah. thumbs up, you know, like that's the move there. And actually with businesses, I would say like you would rather have a highly engaged community versus just like a ton of followers who are
right.
disregarding you and not really interacting, you know.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I mean it brings it back to like what's the intention and like are you right. using it in an intentional way? I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there that have a huge following that they have no idea how to monetize. They've never monetized, and it's just like, well, what, like
exactly.
That's great that you have this and everything, and you have this platform, but you haven't been able to utilize it for anything kind of valuable, you know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
All right. Next question. What makes a great brand?
Oof. I think what makes a great brand is a brand, kind of going back to the beginning of what we've been talking about this whole time, is a brand that threads their North Star, their positioning, what they stand for through every single touch point with their audience, and really mm-hmm. thinks about that and is really, really intentional about that. Yeah. Because if you've done the job of figuring out what that positioning is and what you stand for and why, we're going to assume you're right, right? You've looked at your audience, you've looked at the market, you've looked at what you bring to the table. And if you're able to communicate that properly to those people, I think that's killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've done the job.
That's exactly right. I think oftentimes people, there's such, obviously Allie and I have worked with a ton of different people, like she mentioned, from in our agency life, like massive Fortune 500 companies to people who are like just one individual starting out. And I think there's such an interesting understanding of what a brand is. And frequently when people hear the word branding, they automatically just go to the visuals of things, which of course is huge. But as a designer, I will say, like, of course we want things to look nice. We want things to be beautiful. We want things to make sense, but that's not the priority really. The priority is it communicating what it needs to communicate? I always say like design is visual communication. So it could be the coolest looking thing ever, but if, to Allie's point, it's not reaching the right audience, it's not communicating what it needs to communicate, then it's not really like a good brand, because at the end of the day, it needs to hit on all those touch points. So just to summarize what Allie said, like a good brand, I would say, is one that has done the work to build that foundation from the ground up and not just dive into being like, our color is pink and we love this font and, you know, doing that. And like, this is the way that we speak. There's so much more that needs to come at the upfront. So good brands do that foundational work upfront.
Now that you bring up the how we speak, I think like a lot of people do think about like a logo when you say the word brand, but it's essentially all of your senses, right? Like it's how you look, yeah. How you sound, what does your copy sound like, right? Yeah. How you make people feel, what does it sound like, right? I mean, I use this example all the time, like think Abercrombie and Fitch, right? Like, what does that smell like? I'm sure that right now, the moment I said that word, it like took you back to Mall of America's, you know, 2003 yeah. or whatever.
That and the soundtracks.
But that's part of their, yes. That's part of their brand. That was their brand. And they did a great job. Like they really did. Yeah. Maybe not in other parts, but leave it there. So yeah, I think it's just, you know, taking all those things and being really intentional about them.
How much of that, like, I think you guys obviously have to operate off of information that's given to you, right? How many times or how often have you found yourselves just kind of really frustrated because it's an owner or this founder or somebody that is directing it that they don't have a vision? And maybe it's that they don't have a vision. Maybe they just don't even know how to articulate that vision well. And I think that's one of the things that you guys are really good at, where it's like, mm-hmm. okay, you know what the vision is, but somebody's not articulating it well, but you're able to get enough of it. And you're like, you guys are able to run with it and maybe even ask the right questions to get the right answers out of them. But how frustrating is that? Cause I got to imagine you've run into that before.
Yeah. I would actually say, I don't know if I would say that I find that frustrating, because I actually think like, that's why you've hired us to help you figure that part out. Like you're not an expert in that area. That's where our expertise comes in. And so we're here to ask the right, like to ask those questions to get to the core of what we're trying to communicate and trying to understand. And I think there are, of course, you know, people we work with who come in and they have it like all outlined and we'll go through it with them. And we're like, okay, that checks out. But I'll actually say the most frustrating thing are people not like people who come in who think that like who have defined it exactly. And there's no, they're like, we just want you to be a set of hands that just like create this thing. When I think there's a lot of really good conversation and collaboration that Ali and I can bring to the table. And so the best case scenario is someone who comes in who's open and who can collaborate with us. I think that's like ideal. I love when I'm okay with someone like not entirely knowing, but if we can get to the core of the thing through communication, like that's perfect.
I think what I would call frustrating is not having that trust in us. And I understand that like trust is built. So I think we have to get there. Right. But I think something that we really value is when a client trusts us. And, you know, that's something that actually Michelle and I always talk about you, Pablo, because you're one of our favorite clients. And it's because you trust our expertise. And there are times when we'll push back on you, you know, we'll say like, let's talk about this, you know, and sometimes you don't agree with us and that's okay. But for the most part, you know, you're like, okay, I hear where you're coming from. You know, you're willing to hear us out and you trust our opinion. And that's huge. And in the same way, we work with a lot of different partners, right? Because Michelle and I, like I said, and like we've talked about, like we come from a very heavy design background. So there's a lot of people that we need to rely on, whether it be for production or copywriting or, you know, other kind of capabilities that we sell, where we feel like we can do a really great job of directing, but not of actually doing, but we have to put a lot of trust in those people too, and listen to their expertise. And Alpimar is one of them, you know, like, you guys take care of our books, you take care of our accounting, you're our CFOs, and we wholeheartedly trust you. You know, we had a conversation with Kevin yesterday, actually going over some of our books and talking about the future, and we got off the call and we were both like, oh, it's so great to just like have someone that you know like has your back. And that's kind of the feeling that we want our clients to feel. We want our clients to feel like we have their best interests in mind. We try really hard to be really transparent and not, you know, not take advantage of anyone. I mean, I can't even count how many times we've said, hey, like, this isn't worth your investment. You know, like, I know you think you want to do this, but like, it's just not worth it. And I think that's one of the first steps to building trust is like, we're out here to do what's best for you and your brand, you know? And we're going to be honest about it. We're going to be transparent, even if that means that we might not get that business.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's funny when we hired, obviously you guys worked, you know, you guys kind of did cross work with when we went onboarded our SEO guy and everything and went that route. And it worked out pretty well. I mean, he was, I think, you know, very good. But one of the things that I liked about him was that when I initially had, you know, an onboarding conversation with him, he didn't try to sell me like most SEO agencies did, that it's like, I'm guaranteeing you these leads and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, listen, dude, you can't guarantee me anything. You know, I know enough about how this works. And it was really refreshing, but it's one of the ways in which you build trust, which is, I think, spot on. One of the things I want to talk to you guys about is, you know, we've talked a lot about digital and we're talking a little bit about the future. What about print? How have you guys been seeing, like, you know, I think I sent to you, Ali, I may have sent you this, but the Mountain Gazette, which is this big magazine publication that'll come out, you know, twice a year. Honestly, I'm probably going to subscribe to their next issue because they look awesome. But the whole story behind it and the guy that ended up buying the Mountain Gazette and everything was that he's like, you know, he loved the creative design aspect of print. And I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And it, you know, they're putting out a lot of really cool stuff and the way that they're marketing and everything. What are you guys seeing, I guess, as it, you know, comes to print? And actually one other thing is I had somebody, we had a client of ours actually that, they work in the aviation industry for a private, jet company, that they have their own publication, which actually we'll be probably talking about at some point, because they were like, hey, by the way, I actually just thought about this, but you guys might want to pull out an ad. It's a publication that sits in all of our private jets. Obviously, our clientele is awesome. They kind of fit the profile and everything. Do you guys want to, you know, take over a page or something like that, or a cover? And I was like, oh, this is awesome. So I asked a bunch of questions about it, and I was like, it made me think about Mountain Gazette and just print in general.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of one of, I think, going back to the conversation we were having about like the different generations and what they're like craving, I think there is a movement towards craving kind of that like physical analog, like texture and touch. You know, even if you look at the hobbies people are having, trying like crocheting and making sourdough bread, like that's a very like hands-on, like real life pushback to, I think, like the digital world. I think we're seeing it for sure when you, it goes back to like who you're targeting, right? Like, and do they want that? And I think when you have like larger brands that have the funds to be able to like invest in print pieces or communities that like focus around that, I think we're definitely going to be seeing that. I think for smaller businesses, it's such a huge investment compared to digital. Like, I don't know if we're going to get there anytime soon or back to that anytime soon. I mean, it's just like from a money standpoint, I don't know if that makes sense. You can reach so many more people. Yeah. But, you know, I definitely see that pushback of like want people craving that, you know?
I think there's also cool opportunities, to Ali's point. Obviously, these like significantly larger companies have the funds to be able to do these types of ad placements in print. But what I'd say is, I think aside from ad placement, there's a lot of really special opportunities that you can create with like tactile print pieces. So it might not be, you know, like a traditional ad, but there could be something interesting. I don't know. I'm like now starting to brainstorm, but maybe it's like a quarterly like printed piece that you share with all of your like, you know, like high touch point clients, right? Like there's things where you can use print to create like special moments that maybe digital, it feels slightly less intentional or once again, not intentional, but slightly less like, I guess special. I keep coming back to special because you get to like, it's a beautiful piece that you get to hold and interact with in a way that you can't do digitally. So they're just, there's different use cases for them.
It's funny. I mean, as you, Ali, as you know, we have our annual gifts that we give out to, you know, some of our biggest clients. Yeah. And it's one of those things, like now that I'm thinking about it and you bring that up, it's like one of those things that it's like, it's more of a special, you know, touch and feel type thing. And you know, we like to give out something that is nice. It's certainly been appreciated, I think, by a lot of our clients. They enjoy it. I think, we've talked about what we're going to be, you know, sending out this year, which I'm excited about.
Super fun.
Yeah. I'm wondering, I'm smiling cause Michelle and I had such a fun time designing it and I hope that you like, I know we haven't talked about it, but we should after this call, cause I think it'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, it's a good point, and it's one of those things that it's a little extra something that I know goes a long way with our clients, and I'm happy that it's something that we started doing. All right, I got two more things before we wrap. One of them is I want to talk about AI real quick. AI, hottest topic of decade, I guess. I don't know, I think there was a lot of fear. From a lot of people, and I think there still are, about like, hey, this is going to take jobs away and all that. And I think the more and more people are looking at it, and I know certainly the way we're looking at it is, you really shouldn't have any fear. I mean, this is going to be a really nice leverage point. And I think it's going to introduce some really nice, efficiencies and some effectiveness that we can just, you know, bring to continue to optimize what we do and the service that we provide. So I'm really obviously excited about it. Obviously we use it and use some, you know, have some AI capabilities that, we utilize in our day to day, and we're going to continue to do that. But I want to talk about how it is going to affect your industry and how it maybe already is affecting your industry. And I think probably just in the design and creative art world in general. I know there's things going on now with, you know, even some lawsuits and everything with singers and some of their works and everything. So I'm curious to hear what you guys think about, you know, the development of AI and how you guys are maybe using it now and what you guys see in the future.
Yeah. You know, I think we use it a lot. I think for the same kind of reasons that you use it, it's, you know, wherever we can be more efficient, I think that in the same way that we were talking about, you know, social media, for example, AI is just a tool in my mind. And I think you have to still come back to kind of the core of like what you're trying to communicate with whatever you're creating and making sure that it's on strategy and thinking through all of that. So I think that if we still look at it as a tool, like I don't really necessarily see a world where it's going to completely take over, you know, our jobs forever. I mean, maybe in like 100 years, but I'll be dead, so it'll be fine. but I mean, look, like think about, I like to think about Canva, right? Like, I think Canva is a big conversation in our industry and the use of Canva. And we use Canva all the time because it actually is a tool that allows us to create things that can be editable or used for other people. And, you know, for bigger brands, it's not so much of a need just because they have teams of people who do that and are, you know, specialized in design. But when we work, for example, with a small business that is just starting or it's one or two people, that's really important for them to be able to create their own content without having to constantly come back to us, right? They don't have the budget to do that, which is totally understandable. So we create templates on Canva so that they're able to, you know, push that brand forward and use the tools that we've given them to communicate. However, we still come up, you know, you still have to be able to understand how to make those decisions. It's very difficult without having kind of that background knowledge to be able to go on Canva and make a decision, a design decision, without having the background of understanding, like, okay, what am I trying to communicate? Why am I trying to communicate this? You know, Michelle says this all the time about people who are like, there's so many colors, there's so many fonts. And it's like, okay, but what are we, you know, like, let's get back to it. There's a strategy to it, you know? Like, it's not just about something that looks nice. It's something that we're trying to use to accomplish something. And I look at AI personally in the same way, right? Right now, we're using it a lot for one of our clients because the nature of what we would have to shoot or design or create is almost impossible. Nearly impossible without millions of dollars. So AI is a great tool for us because we're able to create that content, and we do it with that kind of lens in mind of like, okay, how does this feel? Like, how does this look? We're being very intentional about it. You know, I think if I go put my hat on for, you know, my big agency advertising world where we used to do a lot of commercials, you know, I go back to, we used to get on Photoshop and create, when you're trying to sell a commercial and you have to show the client like what it's going to look like, but it's very difficult to show them what it's going to look like because it doesn't exist yet, right? So we would have to sit on Photoshop for hours just like trying to find pieces and putting them together and trying to figure out like how to show what we are envisioning so that they can give us, you know, $500,000 to go and shoot it. I mean, now you've essentially been able to cut that entire work stream so that I can go on AI, just type something, hey, I bumped it out. Obviously, like, this is rough, but this is kind of what it's going to look like. So I think there's a lot of like efficiencies there. I think we'll be able to create, we'll start, I mean, they just came out or they just shared like OpenAI Sora that is going to be able to generate video, which is like absolutely mind blowing. Yeah. So I think it's great. I think it's going to be an awesome tool. I think it just has to be in the same way, in the same vein as Canva, like it has to be used intentionally.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I know people say this, but I think it's true. It's like, it's only, the output is only as good as like what you input, like the prompt that you give it. And to take a step further back, which I know we probably sound like broken records at this point, but like you need to, you can prompt it to do anything, right? And just because you can prompt it to do anything doesn't mean that you should do anything. You should, specifically for businesses, right? Like, once again, you need to go back to like, okay, does this make sense? What are we communicating? How does this, you know, what is the purpose of this piece? And all of that, like strategy work, like Ali mentioned, needs to come into, like, is part of what goes into the prompt that you prompt it to get the output that you want. So yep. All that upfront work is still so key.
So before we wrap, last question I have for you guys. What's the future of Mies? Where do you guys see yourselves in 5 years? What do you guys, how big is Mies, and you know, what exactly do you see for how you're going to be growing this agency going forward?
Do you want to take it, Michelle?
Sure. Also, I know that this is not directly to this question, but I feel the need to explain what Mies is, because I think we do it all the time. Not what Mies is, what Mies means, because I think that's something we always do at the upfront. And I, you know, we didn't do it this time, which is fine. But I think it's an important thing that ties into what we're talking about. So the term is, like, Mies is actually a French term. It's a culinary term. Ali and I are huge foodies. We love eating all that good stuff. We love restaurants. I'm not even going to lie, I'm a huge Top Chef fan. So things like all those things. But it's a culinary term called mise en place, which is basically to put everything in its right place. So when it came time to naming the studio, we really drew inspiration from that, because I think we view a lot of our work very similarly to what chefs do before they start, you know, preparing meals, where they make sure that they have everything, all their ingredients at the exact right amount. We do that with our clients, right? We make sure that we identify what the right ingredients are at the right amount so that we can set them up for success, similar to a chef. The reason why I bring that up is because I think there's a lot of little moving pieces inside of Mies internally. Like, that's, of course, our approach with clients, but even just on the inside, Ali and I have a lot of things that we want to do. I think, of course, we've done the traditional agency and design studio route, and I think there's a lot of exciting things that she and I are hoping to do with our expertise. So of course we help clients with their businesses and brands, but one of the things that I know in the future for us that we're excited about, of course, continuing to do that, but to create almost like our own inside brands and businesses that we can also work on building the, you know, building up. So that's one of the things that I know we're really excited about. But in terms of like the future, Ali, I don't know if you want to share the things that we want for ourselves in our lives.
I think Mies, from the beginning, like we've been talking about it since college, always was a way to build the lifestyle that we wanted. You know, we just want to make cool stuff with cool people and like be able to afford our lifestyle, you know, and like nothing too crazy. We don't really want to be, we always said like we don't want to really be that big, right? You know, we probably want to keep it to a smaller team. We want to work with people we really want to work with on projects that we're really passionate about. We want to really have that ability to say no and, you know, move on to something that might be a better fit for everyone. Like, that's the goal. The goal is to sustain our families and our lives and like be present in our families and our lives too, you know? We never want to, you know, and we will if we have to, right? We'll stay up till 3 a.m. working on something, but we don't want that to be the norm. We definitely want to create a life that's, you know, about life. And so I think that's our goal. You know, our goal is to just get to that place that we, and I think we're kind of a little bit there, you know, like I feel like we do a good job of that now. Yeah. Yeah, just working with the clients that we want to work on projects that we want to work on that we're passionate about, that we're excited about, with people that we really like, you know, surround ourselves with friends and family that we, and people that are really talented and are inspiring. And then, like Michelle said, we have so many ideas and there's so many little skill sets that we have that can go into launching a product or building a business. And so we want to kind of explore what that could look like if we take it on ourselves. That's the future, hopefully.
Nice. Well, guys, this was fun. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Pablo.
It was great. Thanks for having us.
Let's talk about that client gift.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Roads and Riches podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please consider liking, subscribing, commenting. Let us know how we're doing. And if you're an individual or a business that's in need of accounting services, maybe you're in the market for a new CPA, whether it be tax, accounting, fractional CFO services for your business, or transaction advisory services if you're contemplating a transaction, you should consider using Alpine Mar, the CPA firm that's redefining the accounting industry. You can head on over to alpinemar.com or roadsandriches.com to learn more about us and find a contact form to get in touch. Find out if we can be a good fit for you. We'll see you next time on the Roads and Riches pod.